Well, good evening, everyone. Happy beginning of spring. I'm Pam Stack, your host, and you're listening to Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I hope you're listening to us live. If you are, please click the follow button. I want to give a big shout out to Robert Gregory Brown, who's a very fine suspense and thriller novelist, but he also is a very fine composer and musician. He created our theme music. As you all know, this is Women's History Month, so Authors on the Air is celebrating Women's Writers Month. The show would not be complete, the series would not be complete, if my guest this evening was not able to make an appearance. Susan Mallory started publishing her first books in 1990. You know them all. They are fabulous romance with wonderful female and male characters. They're beautiful. And I can't wait for you to hear what Susan has to say about the male characters. You're going to laugh. She's an animal lover, which endears her to me even more. And as you know, she always writes about a pet somewhere along the line in her stories. I love her observations on people and how she writes some funny dialogue, some very emotional dialogue. But in the end, no one gives us a better happily ever after than the wonderful Susan Mallory. I am so proud to have Susan on the show. Good evening, Susan Mallory. Welcome to Authors on the Air.
Well, thank you so much. And I think I need you to come with me everywhere I go so you can do my intro. That was fantastic.
You know I will be glad to. After our meeting last year, I've been avidly reading and catching up on everything. And you're every bit that good and even more. I could write a really good intro for you if you'd like. And I'll be glad to put it on an MP3 and you can just play it into
play
the
it?
Microphone. Yes. And there you go.
That
That's your
great.
Intro. How are you? Welcome. How is Seattle
Thank you
this time
so
of
much.
Year? How is Seattle?
I'm sorry.
How is Seattle this time of year?
It's damp. We've had the wettest winter on record. We're all going to float away soon.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I know.
I'm in Southwest Florida, as you know. This is where we met. And we had a really unbelievably long wet season here, too. Although this week I have to tell you that we had an absolutely gorgeous burst of cool air run through. When it's normally in the 80s, it dropped down to the 60s, so we're loving every minute of it. I hear tell
nice.
We're getting rain tomorrow, though. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? It's nice for a change. So one of the first things I want to talk to you about, Susan, is your new women's fiction series. I can't tell you how much I love these friends of mine. I just adore it. It's a very different type of book than what you typically write. Not that you don't have strong women friendships and family ties and so on in there, but this is a decidedly different style of writing for you. Are you having fun doing it, and why did you choose to do this?
It is totally different. You're right. In a romance, the focus is very much on the relationship between the man and the woman. The boy meets girl is definitely where we're going. And the other relationships are important, but they're peripheral, whereas in the women's fiction, it is central. It is the woman's journey. It is her story. And there's, in my version, there's no male point of view. It's only her. It's only female point of view. And it is truly a woman's story. I like the... They are different. They are not what I normally write. There's a totally different rhythm to them, at least for me. And I like the challenge. I like the change of them. But they're much harder for me. And it's been funny to realize my process is totally different when I write these. So
how so? How is your...
I have a lot more hysterics when I write them than I do my romances. I've written a lot of romances, and I'm very comfortable. I have an instinctive understanding of the rhythm. And so at any given point, I know where I am. I know where I'm going. And while I may not know what's going to happen, it feels okay to me. And if it doesn't feel okay, I know to stop and fix things. In the women's fiction, I don't have that same sense of it. so I never know where I am. And inevitably, I've discovered that right around page 300, I have a complete and total meltdown, and it's not pretty. You know, it's not movie crying. And so I just finished the next book, the next Mischief Bay book, and around page 300, I called my assistant and said, I think it's horrible, and I should probably throw this all out and start over. Could you, like, scan these first 300 pages by tomorrow and let me know? And she's like, no, but I'm happy to start reading them now and then let you know in the next day or so. And she's like, no, it's great. And then the feedback has been, this is everybody's new favorite. So my agent, who is wonderful, sat me down over the phone and said, honey, this is your process. You just need to get used to that. It's going to be okay. So I have a new process with the women's fiction, and sadly it's painful, but it is what it is.
Well, I think I told you I'm so honored to be able to have read the advanced copy of Best of My Love. I have never I have never seen a story like that ever, no matter where. And I'm not going to do any giveaways, but if you want to talk about that, I want you to you know, because that's back with Fool's Gold.
Yes. Oh, that was, that was fun.
Oh, what a great, great story that was. It was really wonderful. Now, I know that you also have, you have The Friends We Keep, and then you have Evening Stars coming out as well. So I have read
Evening Stars has been out. That was a reissue of a trade. So that was that's what that one is.
That's Blackberry Island.
I know.
Island.
It's it's okay. No one can keep track of them. No one.
Well, I even look on your website because I'm trying, you know, and then I just have to go and find like a list in order of publication instead
exactly.
of trying to put them all together by series, because it's just, it's too difficult. Let's talk about The Friends We Keep. Can you talk about that book a little bit and how you conceived of that book?
The Friends We Keep is the second of the Mischief Bay novels, and it is a true women's fiction. It's friends, and it's their story. And the series is very loosely connected. In fact, it's been interesting. I've gotten several reviews saying, oh, I didn't even know this was a series, and it does read as a standalone, which is how I like to write them. I don't like being confused. So it is the story of three friends, Gabby and Haley and Nicole, and they're all at a different place in their life. Gabby is married. She's got 5-year-old twins and a 15-year-old stepdaughter, so that's where she is in her life. Haley is married and trying desperately to have a baby, and she can't. She can get pregnant, but she can't go to term. And I have a lot of friends who have had miscarriages over the years. Fortunately, none of them have ever been in Haley's situation. But she has tried everything. And a friend of mine and I were talking once, and she said, did you know nearly 25% of women in America need help getting pregnant, some form of intervention to get pregnant? And I had no idea that was true, and it was really sort of life-changing to think that many women are facing the heartache of being unable to just decide to get pregnant and then get pregnant. And then Nicole is the fun story, I think. She's falling in love against her will.
Very much so.
And it was one of the things that was fun for me was in the first book I created this children's series, Brad the Dragon, and it's just the concept of this. It's just this dragon, and you follow him as he grows up. And it was fun to go back to Brad the Dragon, and Janelle, my amazing assistant, did a drawing of Brad the Dragon, which is on my website, and it's just, it's fun. I don't have anywhere near the talent to write a children's book, but it was fun to pretend.
I think it was really well done. The story was well told through both the character's eyes and her son's eyes. But what just a really fun little story with Nicole. I like that one a lot. Haley, I cried my eyes out. I cried my eyes out for her. I really did. The first book was The Girls of Mischief Bay, right?
Yes, that was the first one. Pam and Nicole and Shannon.
Right.
So, and I'll tell you, Pam is one of the heroines in the third book.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah.
And have you got a title for the third book?
Yes, it's currently called Mischief Bay 3. No, we don't. That's how I send it in. And yes, on the Fool's Gold books, I will tell you when I send those in, those are even funnier because I usually do three a year and I have no idea. So it'll go in and it'll say something like FG for Fool's Gold, Book 1, 2016 is the title. And my editor always is probably going to have to change that. It's like, really? Okay. So, yes, that's how I send them in. Or if it's the Christmas book, it'll say Fool's Gold, Christmas 2015.
Oh, that's so funny. Cindy, I want to bring you on. I want to introduce Cynthia Rifle. Cindy is the director of book reviews for the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network and also a huge fan of Susan Mowry's. As a matter of fact, we were together last year at the Southwest Readers Festival when we met Susan. Oh, so she remembers us. Isn't that amazing? Cindy, do you have a question about the Mischief Bay novels or any of the novels that Susan has written that you want to ask her about?
Actually, Susan, what I'd like to ask you about is I know since I've read so many of your books over the years, especially the Fool's Gold books, how do your Fool's Gold, actually I would call them fanatics because I have been, how do they feel about the fact that you've written all these Fool's Gold books and they're contemporary women's fiction, romantic fiction, and now all of a sudden you're going into Mischief Bay books and they're women's fiction. How are they taking the difference in your writing?
That's a great question. I, for the most part, they're fine with it. As long as I continue to do the funny, sexy romances that they love, they seem okay. I've been doing women's fiction one book a year for several years now. So it's not a total shock to them. And what I like is once a year I get to go do something a little bit different. And by the time I'm done writing the women's fiction novel, I am so desperate to get back to to Fool's Gold or another romance. It's pretty fun. And then after writing three romances, I'm kind of ready to, okay, I'm ready for something different. You know, like a juice fast. It always sounds good. And halfway through the day, you're like, please, I need a hamburger. So it's like that. So I enjoy the opportunity to test myself in different ways, to be challenged in different ways. And I think it keeps things fresh for me. I've been writing, as you said, a long time. I've written a lot of books. And that's one of the ways every morning I'm like really excited. Okay, not when I'm doing revisions. But other than that, I'm really excited about what I'm going to write that day. And I think being able to do both, and I also do some e-novellas, and those are short. And to be able to write a story in, you know, 2 weeks is really satisfying instead of 4 months. So I try to do different things to mix it up, and I have the world's greatest readers, and they've been very, very supportive, and I appreciate that.
I have
one more
to say,
question, speaking of the world's greatest readers.
Yes.
When did you start writing, and why did you have this all-consuming urge to become an author?
We were talking about this earlier. You have to look at Susan's website. We were going to talk about this. There's a video on there, but I'm going to let her tell you. But there's one of the funniest videos I've ever seen under a drop-down that says Meet Susan, and you've got to go and watch it. Susan, please relay the story. It's priceless.
Well, I actually didn't set out to be a writer. I didn't know you could be a writer. When I was growing up, for some reason, I thought to be a writer, you had to live in France and wear turtlenecks and smoke a lot of cigarettes, and I don't speak French, and I think I was hanged in a previous life. I actually can't wear turtlenecks or anything really tight around my neck, and I've never been a smoker. So I didn't do any of that stuff, and I always loved to read. I've always been a big reader. I went to college, and I was sensible, so I studied accounting, and I was taking my classes and minding my own business, and I saw this, I got a mailer for a local adult education center called the Learning Tree. I was living in Los Angeles, and they taught everything from cake decorating to dog training, and there was a how to write a romance novel class. So I was really busy with school and homework, and I was newly married, and I'm just like, I don't have time. So I put it off, and the third time I got the flyer, this would have been like, you know, 3 or 4 months later, I thought, this lady's not going to teach this class forever. So I took the class, and I thought, well, if I'm going to take this class, I best start a book. So I started a book, and when the class started, I went in, and I had 50 pages of a novel, and I was very proud and smug, and the teacher went around and said, have you started a book, and how much have you written? I'm like, yes, I have 50 pages, and then this woman behind me said, I've completed an 850-page novel.
Oh, my God.
I don't know who you are, but I hate you. And it turns out her name is, she writes for Harlequin as Teresa Southwick, and we're still friends.
Oh,
we just did plotting together.
So funny. That's
I eventually,
funny.
Obviously, forgave her. So I started writing, and I realized week six of the 8-week class that this is what I was meant to do with my life. I was not meant to be an accountant. So I kept going to school, and in the summer I would write. And one of the great things of living in L.A. is you have access to so much about writing. There's UCLA Extension, and there's all kinds of workshops, and the Screenwriters Guild does a lot of classes for non-members. So I took a lot of screenwriting for story structure, and I loved it. And I was writing and submitting and writing and submitting and getting rejected and coming up on graduation. So I was studying to take the CPA exam, and it was... God, it was four nights a week. It was a nightmare. 3.5 hours. And the night we studied accounting theory, I left at the break and went home and told my then-husband, I said, I don't want to do this. I want to be a romance writer. And I was turning down big money and because I already had a job with an accounting firm and paid vacation and all these benefits. We were going to get to eat meat more than once a week. And I just, so we talked about it for a long time, and finally we negotiated I would have 2 years to sell after graduation, and then I would have to go get a real job. So then I had to call my recruiter, John, and say, you know, great job with the benefits, just kidding. And I knew he was going to be mad, and he was very, very old. He was probably 40. But he seemed old, you know, like my dad. And I just knew it was going to go horrible. So I called him up and I said, I really appreciate the opportunity. I'm not going to take the job. I'm going to go be a romance writer. And he said nothing. It was just silent. And I thought, oh, he's going to yell at me. It's going to be so bad. And he said, I write fantasy novels. I've never had the courage to do anything. I will give you 2 years. And he actually said, you will not forget enough to be useless in 2 years. If you don't make it, call me and I'll give you a job. And that was
God.
I know. And that was May of 1990, and I sold my first book in August.
Wow.
And then 2 years passed, and by then I'd sold 7 books, and I called him up and said, I'm checking in. I'm not going to do it. I'm not coming back.
I love it.
And,
Susan, that story is priceless. It really is. Now, you sold your first book August of 1990. Here we are in March of 2016.
Yeah, I was like 3. I just like to say that.
I knew that. I knew that about you. So can you please tell me, how many books have you written since then?
I think about 140. That's the number that's currently floating around.
Wow. You, no moss under your feet, girly.
No.
You are a very, very prolific writer. How do you manage to have so many different stories going on. I mean, you've got Fool's Gold and Mischief Bay and Blackberry Island, plus you had standalones. You have all these things going on. How did you manage to do that?
Well, there's different things that happen. For example, I think men and women trying to get along is hysterical, so there's always fodder there. And
sure.
The books are very distinct for me. So the Fool's Gold series has its own feeling, and it has its own type of story. I would not have you. There's no way to make The Friends We Keep work in the context of Fool's Gold. It's just
right.
We don't have stuff like that in Fool's Gold. Nothing. It's a different kind of place. It's funny. It's charming.
Oh,
it's heartwarming. Mayor Marcia.
Are we ever going to find out about her?
No, but here's my theory. My theory is she's either God or she has friends at the NSA. That's basically got
to
be it.
It has to
it's
be.
It's one or
it
the other.
It has to be.
So, but I get ideas all the time. Years and years ago, I wrote a series of chic novels set in the fake country of El Bahar because I loved them. As a teenager, I loved chic novels, and I had wanted to write them forever. I used to write special editions. That's sort of where I wrote a few historical novels, but I mostly got my start writing special editions. And I loved the chic novels, and I asked my editor, could I please, please write a chic novel? And she said, no, we have someone. We have Barbara Faith doing them, and she does a great job. I said, yes, I know. I love her. Please tell her I love her books. So one day, my editor called and said, and in a whisper, Barbara Faith has passed away. And I was just devastated. You know, when your favorite author dies,
yes.
It's awful.
Yes.
It's awful. And
yes.
Then I'm like, oh, my God, and I'm trying to deal. And she's like, you can write a chic novel. I was like, I need time to separate these two events before I can move forward. So I started writing chic novels. They were very campy. I also, when I was a teenager, loved Harlequin Presents. And they were fantastic, and they still are one of my favorites to read. And so, but there were things that made me laugh, and one of them was the heroine's slender ankle. So a thing I did in every chic book is the hero at one point or another thinks about the heroine's slender ankles. And it's sort of my personal, it's an Easter egg in the book. It's my personal homage to the older classic category romances that I think are fantastic. So I had a great time. So years passed. I ended up doing about 15 of them. And I had a couple of readers who were just such tremendous fans, and one of them, Helen, had been a daughter, a stepdaughter to Crown Prince Malik of El Bahar, and I had said at the end of that book, I had hinted that Bethany would get her own story, and then I moved away and I started writing single titles, and it's really not something you can do in a chic book. So every now and then I hear from Helen, who reminds me of my promise. So I finally think I have a story for poor Bethany all these years later. But that's the best part. It's like it's probably been 12 years. And to wake up at 3 in the morning and think, I know what to do and how to make this work is so incredibly satisfying. So that's a lot of what it is. I do what I do because it's just fun.
You know, in that little video that I was mentioning, you talked a lot about the hunky heroes in your books. What's your philosophy about that, having so many good-looking people in Fool's Gold?
Well, and I get that
really
a lot.
Critical.
I get that a lot when I do radio tour.
Yeah.
I get a lot from mostly male radio guys saying, why are all your men good-looking? And the implication is it makes me shallow. And I'm very comfortable with that. I am totally happy. You can think I'm shallow all you want. First of all, I have a litmus test for a romance novel, and that is the woman who buys my book is by herself. She's maybe her kids are grown and she's gone to open the summer lake house. Maybe she's got 3 kids by herself, you know, and her husband's on a work trip, whatever. She draws a bath, she picks up a book and a glass of wine, and that book is mine. And she slips into the water and opens the book, and my job is to make her happy for the next hour. until the water is so cold she has to get out because she's been reading. And at no point when she sits in that bathtub does she think, wow, if only I had an unattractive unemployed guy, my life would be complete. These are fantasy novels. It's a fantasy. So part of that is the guys are attractive. And then the other reason, as we have discussed privately, is we all have sex, all of us. All three of us do it together. And I choose, if I'm going to have fantasy sex with a man, I choose that he be attractive.
Absolutely.
There it is. I've said it.
There
it's true.
Speaking of, I have to talk to you about a book. It actually is the one you signed, one of the three you signed for me, Before We Kiss. And it's about Sam. And I love the Sam Ridge character and Delina. I thought that was a great story. But and it was a little risque for a Susan Mallory novel. And you
it was.
You said to me, Pam, this is as close as I'm getting to 50 Shades. I burst out laughing when I read that.
I love 50 Shades. Because to me, 50 Shades has answered a problem. People have been saying for years, how sexy are your books? And now I can say, I'm about 27 shades. And it's a frame of reference. I'm a solid 27, sometimes with a 28. But I will tell you,
great.
Sam and Delina are like 32.
Oh no. I wanted to meet a Sam right after that.
And he comes with his mother, so you have to be careful what you wish for because she would be in your life as well.
I talk to a lot of people every day, as you know, and for 4 years I've been talking to a lot of different people, four times a week, sometimes three times a week, and so I'm prepared for that. I'm willing to risk it, Susan. I really am.
Are you?
Yes, because, you know, he's the man with the plan. He knows where that magic spot is. And, you know, there aren't a whole lot of them that do, I have to say. So,
well, it was fun. It was very fun to write.
What a great series that was, too. And, of course, you know, it's like a gal and three guys. And the gal is great. I'm not going to give the story away in case anybody hasn't read that series. But it is part of Fool's Gold. And, naturally, Mayor Marcia does have her fingers in it. But that series of books was so good.
Well, one of the things that was really fun was the gal you're talking about is Taryn, and
right.
She's the a business partner with three former football players. They own a PR firm called Score. And I loved her. And one of the best parts was
too.
The research, because she's quite the clothes horse and she has serious money. So,
yes.
Unlike, you know, those of us who are very excited when a new hoodie comes on sale for $19.99, she's buying designer clothes. So I'm doing research, and then now in my Facebook feed, the ads are for like $5,200 Givenchy shoes. It's like, honey, that's never happening. You need to give me the Bed Bath & Beyond sale. That one has some possibilities of me clicking on the ad.
With the 20% coupon, right?
Yes, of course. Of course. So anyway, it was just very funny. But Angel, her hero,
yes.
I originally wrote him in the 90s. He was a secondary character in a book. And I knew I had to write his story, and I had no idea because he's not my typical hero. And therefore, the heroine would – I tend to write fairly strong women, but not like that. And so every couple
really
years,
yeah,
he would show up, and I'd be like – I don't have anyone for you. And I tried. Did you read the Bodyguard books?
Yes.
Patience. And, okay.
That's
originally, I had thought he might go with Patience, and I got two pages into the story. It's like, okay, this isn't working for any of us. Never mind.
that little series, I have to tell you, I love those books. They're actually sitting to the front of one of, you know, I have like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bookcases, okay, that I'm, and plus I have all my signed books, which I normally keep in acid-free paper and airtight containers. I never want anything to happen. No one will get those books until I die, and my brother's been instructed to put the books in the crematory with me because no one's getting them. I want to have books to read no matter which way I'm going. I'm taking my books, okay? So, but I leave yours kind of, those three books I leave kind of to the front. Well, they're very special because you sign them in the the little inscriptions were so cute. But every once in a while, I have to pull out that particular book and read it again. And I do like to reread books. And sometimes mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I need me a little Sam tonight, you know? Like, I was talking to Susan Donovan last week, and I said, I need me a little Eli tonight. That's one of her characters that I love. So every so often, I'm pulling out my Susan book, and I'm reading me a little Sam about, and, you know, laughing my whole way about it because of his parents, mom particularly. I could handle that, though, because I used to talk to my mom about everything. So it's pretty cool. I want to just remind everyone, Susan is here for a limited time, but she is willing to take your calls. If you're interested in speaking to her, the number is 347-633-9609. I'm going to take calls for just a few minutes, and the first lucky caller is getting a book from Susan. I'm going to send it to you. Cindy, what questions do you have? Because I've been hogging the conversation.
Yes, you have, actually. But I
know.
What happens when,
it's good to be the queen sometimes.
I just want to let you know, Susan, that as soon as you said I wrote chic books, these books popped into my mind from Harlequin, Susan Mallory, and I went, oh, my God, I read them.
Hang on. We got a caller, and
that.
I
That's
know
funny.
Who this is. Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
I bet you anything. This is my friend Lucy calling. Lucifer Dunn, say hi to Susan Mallory. I know you love her. Lucy, say hi to Susan.
I do. Hi, Susan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
This is my friend Lucy, who lives in New Hampshire.
Oh, wow. So it's late there, too.
It's only 9:30.
Yeah, she's Eastern time with us too.
I'm a Washington transplant.
Oh, are you?
I am.
So, do you have a question?
It's still raining.
Lucifer, do you have a question?
I do. I wanted to know when you have series. Well, my first question was, how many books do you think you would end a series at? But obviously, I kind of got that answered already. Do some of your characters just kind of slip away on the sly where not a lot of people pick it up, and then do you ever revive those characters in further books down the series?
I do revive characters. Once a couple has fallen in love, if it's a romance, we're not going to deal with them as main characters again, because to me in a romance, if a couple falls in love, I've made you a promise, and I'm not going to break that promise. Because if I broke them up, then you'd question every relationship. So
right.
That I won't do. But as far as secondary characters coming back, I actually get a lot of great ideas from my readers. I wrote a series called The Bakery Sisters. It was Sweet Talk, Sweet Spot, and Sweet Trouble. And there was a teenage boy in Sweet Spot named Raul. I almost said Diego, but that's wrong. That would be a tiger from Ice Age. Anyway, sorry, it all blurs. And so Raul was this great teenager, and I really liked him. And then I was signing, I was at a signing when those books were out, and a reader came up to me and said, oh, is he going to be in your next series? And I thought to myself, no, because I'm not smart enough to have done that on my own. But as soon as she said it, I thought, oh, my gosh, of course, he's going to grow up and be an amazing hero. So I had written another series, but that's why he's in Fool's Gold. And I was just starting the Fool's Gold series, and he's in the third book, which is Finding Perfect, with Pia. And so that's where he came from, was a reader saying, would you consider this? It's like, sure, I would be happy to. So
you brought characters back in that in the series with the score people, too, because when she had the little dog that Mae Marcia had given her, and she's trying so hard to get her fiance to propose, or her boyfriend to propose again.
Oh yes,
and
yes.
So and you had some of the married couples, Feyrene. You had some of the, which remind me to ask you a question about that. You had some of the married couples from Fool's Gold come back, and the first time the woman fell asleep, the second one, her water broke, so she...
Right, which was Pia, by the way. But, yes, they'll
right.
definitely, in Fool's Gold, people will have walk-ons. So I want to revisit everybody. You see where they are, how many kids they have, that sort of thing. So that I will definitely do. But people have said, well, you should write another book about this couple. And the only way that can happen in a romance is if they break up and then fall back in love, and that's what I won't do.
That's good.
Yeah, it violates sort of what I feel it should be.
Right.
I want to talk to you about Feyreen and Delina and all. You have some very interesting names for your characters. Now, you've written over 140 books, or 140 books at last count, so I imagine that you go through character names pretty quickly, but... You know, your names are pretty unusual, Susan. How does that happen?
I have a really fat naming, baby name international book.
Okay.
And I'm genuinely running out of names. And what is hysterical is because of this whole Bethany chic teenager girl book that I'm going
right.
to, you know, that now she's grown up and I need to figure out a way to write a book for her because the guilt is starting to get to me. I read the book she was in, and while I was on vacation in January, I just loaded it on my Kindle, because it's been a really long time. I'm like, and then I really sort of had fun with it, so I downloaded a couple more chic books. And I think in the second one, I'm reading along, minding my own business, and suddenly there's a character named Rafe Stricker. Well, Rafe Stricker was in the cowboy books. That's the
yeah.
first hero with Heidi the Goat Girl. And I'm like,
yes!
Oh, my God, how did I do that? So I do have a naming book. A lot of times the last names come from we do Facebook stuff. So I ask for help, you know, help me name a business, help me name a river, and then I will use the last name somewhere in the book. But the first names, I truly do get desperate. I went through... The Best of My Love and Thrill Me was book one of the Mitchell brothers. They're all
yes.
Irish names. I'll just pick that. And so that's why the father's Keelock, and they all have Irish names. And I was, you know, it was probably pre-coffee, and I was flipping through, and the book I'm writing now, the heroine's name is Pallas, P-A-L-L-A-S, who was a friend of Athena, and Athena accidentally killed her. So that's where the Palladium comes from. And so I thought, well, that's going to be a funny conversation. So her name is Pallas, and she's like, yes, what were my parents thinking?
Love that.
So it's hard. It's very hard.
I could keep you for 100 years. I have so many questions for you, but I promise you I would not keep you forever. I have just an observation to make. I feel like Fool's Gold is a real town. Why? Because I know all the shopkeepers. I've seen the map. I know what it looks like. There's not a part of Fool's Gold that isn't a part of me, too. And I bet you anything, you speak to any of your readers, and they're going to know exactly what they're talking about when it comes to Fool's Gold. And I remember all the back books from when you first started writing. And like I told you, I used to go to the library and I'd check them out in order of copyright when they were published. And so I feel like I've kind of grown up with you. Not that and you're younger than I am, Susan, but I've kind of grown up and had a really good time reading along with you and seeing Fool's Gold expand. So I want to thank you for that, because it's really been a lot of fun.
Thank you. It's been so much fun for me too, and I just really enjoyed it, and it has expanded. I wrote it as a trilogy with the hopes it would get bigger, and now we're like book 21 or something. It's crazy.
You're gonna need a state for it pretty soon. I mean, California will not be able to hold Fool's Gold for too long, or Maya Marshall will be running for governor, and that wouldn't surprise me in the least bit.
She'd be a good governor.
She really would be. I mean,
yeah.
She would be a fabulous governor. I think she'd be terrific. And I try to get a visual of her, and the visual that I have of her is like a Marsha Mason type person. I may be totally off base, but that's who I picture, you know, somebody sassy or even like a Kathy Bates character or something like that. Do you ever put actual actors' faces to your characters?
It's funny because I used to, and then I stopped because it was when I started writing the Chic books. One of the notes I got from my editor at the time was like, it's page 60 and you haven't described him. And I wrote back, really? You need a description? But I have a book coming out this summer. It's my first hardcover. It's called Daughters of the Bride. And so that one I actually did, and it was very funny because I'm trying to find pictures online, and I am not really good at this, and it's, you can't really print them. They don't work, or they came out the size of literally a postage stamp. So I ended up finding this online site where you could buy pictures of celebrities for like $5. And so I placed my order, and then I thought, I'm like turning into a weird person now. I probably always been weird, but it became very obvious. And then I didn't get any information, so I wrote, and I got the guy who does this. And I said, I'm just curious. I didn't get we've received your order or anything. He said, oh, yeah, I mailed it, you know, postage, regular postal mail, blah, blah, blah. And so we ended up emailing back and forth for a couple of days. I'm like, people must want these for really creepy reasons. And I'd like to be clear, I don't have a creepy reason.
Right,
so,
which
yeah,
is what
so
everybody says, right?
And then I thought, yes, the serial killer. It's like, no, I'm not overly quiet and keep to myself. So I, for that one, I actually did every major character. I have a 5x7 glossy photo, and it was very funny to do that because I'm like, well, I don't really like her, but her physical, she looks, you know. So it was just, it was funny.
Is Los Lobos going to be a new series?
No, it is. It'll be just, I had the two books set there, and I liked the town a lot, and I thought it would be fun. And, again, I'm so easy to guilt. If you need to guilt me about something, it's very effective. A lot of people have asked for a follow-up on Gracie. From Falling for Gracie,
okay.
So
yes.
She has a cameo, so we see her,
okay.
And we know she's
because
happy and all
is
well.
Because this is another women's fiction book, and I love this, and it's going to be fun to read it. I can't wait.
It's a straight romance.
Oh, good.
We're calling it Romance Plus.
I love that. I cannot thank you enough for being with me. Lucy, which book do you want to read? Because I'm going to send you... I'm going to send you an Amazon card, and you pick out one of Susan's books, and I'll send it to you, okay?
Okay.
And then, Cindy, thank you for being with me tonight to speak to Susan, as you always are when we have the best authors and when we go to book conferences. Thank you for being with me. Lucy, I'll talk soon. Cindy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan. It's been great talking to you again.
Thank you so much. I've had a wonderful time. You ladies are fun.
Thank you.
So you, believe me.
We aim to please. We aim to please. Susan, will you come back again sometime?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you so
much. I would love to.
Thank you so much for being with us during Women Writers Month. You've just enhanced the whole series so much, and I appreciate it. And by the way, happy Mother's Day. I won't talk to you then, but I will be in touch, okay? And thank you again for being with me. Have a lovely evening.
You too. Thank you.
Okay. All righty. Okay, tomorrow night, everybody, I'm going to be talking to Elaine Vietz. She is from St. Louis and Florida, so she's a Florida gal now. I can't wait to talk to her. And on Friday, Janice Gable Bashman, who is a fabulous writer of horror stories for teens and adults. Thank you for being with me, everyone. Have a good evening, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night.